Ladies, I had the privilege of opening up the book of Titus with you, and I have the privilege of closing the book with you as well. It's been a rich study for me, and I hope you as well. Titus was a Gentile, possibly led to Christ by Paul, and he proved to be a faithful and godly companion to Paul and leader of the church. The major thrust of this epistle is that of equipping the churches of Crete for effective evangelism. As of all of Scripture transcends time, we also are able to be instructed by our Lord. The book of Titus emphasizes godly living as the only effective backdrop to evangelize. Let me repeat that. The book of Titus emphasizes godly living as the only effective backdrop to evangelize. After all, we all know that to preach it and not to live it is a ticket to not listen or to take seriously, i.e., hypocrisy. Titus gives us the guidelines for choosing our leadership, a straightforward plan of rebuking false teachers, and holy living and sound doctrine both in the church and in the world. In three short chapters, we are given a multitude of information and an insight of how God desires us to live. In chapter 1, we are told Cretans are liars, evil beasts, and lazy gluttons. We prefer to soften the issues and say things like, "He stretches the truth." Evil beast, that would be a serious affront to someone's self-esteem, much less to call someone a lazy glutton. We refuse to say that someone is undisciplined in food consumption. It may hit too close to home. Protecting our own, as well as others' self-esteem, has perhaps become our God. But ladies, God will not share His throne. As women, we are to be reverent in a very irreverent society. If we are not careful, we will condone ungodly speech by merely being silent. Crude and sexual jokes abound in our movies, in our entertainment, in our world. What is our response? Do we go with the flow? Do we justify it by saying it doesn't affect us? Or do we strain everything carefully through a Philippians 4:8 filter? Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, is there anything of excellent or if anything is worthy of praise, dwell on these things. That should be our criteria to what we allow to go in our hearts or in our ears or in our minds. We are not to be gossipers. That is a sport for many and can be disguised by even believers and can come under such godly disciplines as prayer request. Here again, we can remain in an uncomfortable silence when we know we should make a stand for holiness. We are not to be enslaved to wine or controlled by any substances, but rather be spirit controlled. When overcome by life's trials, what do we run to? Is it to our knees, or to godly counsel, or to time alone in the Word, or do we look to any substance to dull the pain? We are, first and foremost, to love our husbands. Note they are listed before our children, and to be sensible, pure, workers at home. I think this may mean a substantial part of our time should actually be at home, which is uncharacteristic in the culture we live. If we have allowed our lives or our children's lives to have come to the point where family dinners or family time is non-existent or certainly not an event enjoyed several times a week, we need to take serious inventory of our time and literally, physically, get back home. As if the list prior were not enough to keep us busy, we aren't engaged in the full-time job of submitting to our husbands, all for the supreme goal of honor to the Word of God. We are exhorted to be bond slaves and to not be argumentative, yet in our world, we are exhorted to stick up for our own rights, be a slave to no one, be assertive. Especially women are exhorted to such and express all thoughts, irregardless if they be argumentative. We are to adorn the doctrine of God our Savior. But in our world, we spend a great deal of time, money, and thought on adorning ourselves and our children. Whenever someone tells me that one of my daughters is pretty, the immediate thought that comes to my mind is, pretty is that pretty does, my mama always said. There's nothing wrong with being or making oneself physically attractive as long as the goal is to honor the Lord and in remembrance that what God desires and looks at is the heart. 1 Samuel 16:7. In chapter 3, we are to be subject to all rulers, authorities, to be obedient. In this command, we must take a hard look at our attitudes and actions towards the laws of our lands, right down to speed and other traffic laws. And do we not even find ourselves justifying and rewriting certain laws? I mean, surely we do know best, do we not? We may need to rethink our attitudes. Do they, in all respect, reflect the love and obedience to authority that our loving Father commands? Hebrews 13:17. Obey your leaders and defer to them, for they keep watch over you and will have to give an account that they may fulfill their task with joy and not with sorrow, for that would be of no advantage to you. All authorities include not only our own husbands, but our church leaders, our bosses, the police. The list goes on and on. Remember when you were a teenager and you thought all you had to do was escape your parental control and then you would be home free? God tells us otherwise. And what should we do when the person cuts us off on the road, or a clerk is incredibly rude, or our own flesh and blood is blatantly disrespectful? We are to malign no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing every consideration for all men. And why should we do such? Two reasons. First, there should be nothing more important than our testimony, for our responses to life and people reveal our true love and obedience to our Lord. And God reminds us, secondly, that we were once foolish ourselves, disobedient, deceived, enslaved to various lust and pleasure, spending our lives in malice and envy, hateful, hating one another. And as much as we'd like to think that we are certainly not like that person, God once again tells us differently. Furthermore, we are to avoid controversies, yet we have been well taught to encourage expression. It would be considered blasphemous to say children are to be seen and not heard, much less to esteem and cultivate the personal goal of leading a quiet life, letting no unwholesome word proceed from our mouth, and only that which is for edification. Prayers for elders give way to the seemingly more urgent need to complain about everything and everybody in the church. We excuse ourselves and our children from solid biblical teaching because it is boring and the teacher is not interesting, yet nowhere in Scripture can we find a command for others to entertain us. Rather, the responsibility is incumbent upon ourselves to study the Word, meditate on it, and for us to teach it to our children day and night, not to complain day and night how others are teaching it. We are to avoid controversies in the home, in the church, and in the world. It is unfruitful to argue theology. Remember, knowledge puffs up. It is the Holy Spirit that brings one to repentance, not our persuasive arguments. We are to reject a factious man. A factious man is someone who, it's a law unto himself, will not submit to the Word or to the church. But in our culture, we are encouraged to tolerate, excuse, give yet one more chance, etc., etc., etc. Several years ago, I knew a factious woman. She was divisive and outwardly complaining. Interestingly enough was the reaction of the women around her. No one wanted to confront her and certainly not reject her. Our actions must shame the throne of heaven. God calls sin, sin, not mistakes, not accidents, not caused by our environment, and not disease. It is time we agree with God on the subject of sin. Relationships, no matter how close or how deep, are not to take first place in our lives, but rather to always be secondary to our relationship with our Lord. God is very protective of His church. There is no place for divisiveness or a watered-down doctrine or a compromising truth in God's holy place. As women, I believe it can be hard for us to carry out these instructions from our Lord. My daughter said, "Mom, tell them to be careful because what is so important to us is to be liked." I thought she had some insight on this. She also said, "Mothers seem to have difficulty looking at sin clearly in their own children's lives. They make excuses for them. Women also are too concerned about being accepted." We need to be reminded of three aspects here. One, we are to be encouraged as God tells us He will equip us to do all He commands. That includes rejecting a factious man or woman or confronting sin. Secondly, I believe God gives us godly men to look to, receive counsel from, and who are often strong where we tend to be weak. If, in fact, we know the integrity of men who are indeed advising us on the basis of accurately handled Scripture, then we are to obey and not fight or manipulate or justify actions that would be contrary. Amazingly, as if there were not enough for each one of us to work on the clear commands of Scripture, we often get derailed, making a stand on areas which are not black and white, where God doesn't speak. And even more amazingly, we find enough time to further impose those gray areas of convictions on others rather than on the areas that the Lord has already convicted us in our own personal lives. Paul, as a spokesman for the Lord himself, exhorts us to learn to engage in good deeds. We need to be still before the Lord, to know and work each day that our good deeds may indeed be what the Lord desires. The pressing needs around us are just that. If you are involved in your church or your neighborhood or work, you are well aware of the pressing needs, and they can be overwhelming. On the other hand, if you've isolated yourself, you may be clueless as to what's going on around you. It is here that we need to be concerned enough to be involved in what the Lord wants us to be involved in. Whom does the Lord want you to minister to today? And may the Lord not find us, you or I, so busy and so overspent that we have no time or resources left to engage in the good deeds he calls us to. All that we have learned might be overwhelming except for the grace of God. But God. In closing, turn with me to Jude 24:25. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to make you stand in the presence of his glory, blameless and with great joy, to the only God our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time, and now, and forever. Amen.